listening to Sheep Might Fly, the weekly podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. This is part three of The Patrician, which was first published in the collection Love and Roman Punk. Clea was 19, home on holiday from university, when she got a chance to ask Julius why the creatures he hunted came to Nova Ostia so often. "This is three times in 3 years now," she said, when she found him battling naiads in the Fountain of Neptune at 4 o'clock in the morning. "Wouldn't it save time just to stay here and wait for them all to come to you?" "And leave the rest of the world unprotected?" he said, throwing handfuls of iron shavings into the water, despite the wails and cries of the blue-skinned women. "It might seem like a regular occurrence to you, but it's merely a drop in the ocean. Still, it's a weird coincidence that the ones who make it as far as Australia always come here." "Not a coincidence at all," said Julius, wiping scales off his toga. "The people who built this little tourist trap of yours used actual stone from Roman cities, remember? The creatures are drawn here just as often as they are to Ostia itself, or Pompeii, or Bath." "Bath in England? Lots of museums in Bath. Old temples, statues. I spend a great deal of time in museums." He looked curiously at Clea. "What are you studying at university?" "Economics," she said, which was a lie. Later, when the naiads had gurgled their death throes and she was letting Julius clean himself up in her mum's ensuite, she admitted, "Archaeology and Latin." He seemed amused. "I suppose there isn't a course on hunting mythological beasts." "Not specifically. Sydney universities are quite provincial. I was lucky to get Latin." Julius dried his face on a shell-pink hand towel. "You're still too young for me." "Did I ask?" Clea was pissed off that he assumed she was still interested. "I have a boyfriend who is very good in bed, actually." "I'm glad you told me that. I might have had sleepless nights wondering about it." Clea glared at him. "Are we done here?" "That depends on you, doesn't it?" She could have kicked him out, shut the door, and ignored him until next time their paths crossed and there were dragons or something, but it had been 2 years. She had a lot more questions saved up. "I'll walk you out." They strolled through the quiet city. "Tourists still come to this place?" Julius asked. "I didn't think anyone cared about the ancient world anymore." "Gladiator gaming is trendy again," said Clea. "It helps. Though the visitors are always disappointed we don't have a coliseum with real fighting and stuff." "Bread and circuses. Nothing changes." "Mostly we get Australians who want to travel for culture, but feel guilty about their carbon footprint." "Never mind, it'll take another 50 years to pay back the carbon footprint it cost to build this place." Julius nodded. They were almost at the wall. "What else did you want to ask me this time?" "The first time we met, you said you were a manticore, which was a lie because I looked it up. And it's like a lion mixed with a person and a scorpion. And unless you're very good at disguises, that's not what you are." Clea waited for him to tell her that yes, he was a lion and a scorpion and a person all mixed together. And his human skin had been sewn by dwarves or something. "The manticore was a metaphor," Julius answered instead. "Like a chimera or a griffin. A creature built from other creatures. A hybrid. That's what I am." "A hybrid of what?" He shrugged. "There's Lamia blood in my family. Werewolf too. Other magics. One of my great-grandmothers turned herself into a dragon to prove a point. Many of my relatives became gods. We were a strange family." "And your name is really Julius?" Clea had done her research. She wasn't limited to Google anymore. She had a whole university library at her disposal. The year 39 CE was during the reign of Caligula, one of the emperors who claimed descent from Julius Caesar. Then again, it wasn't only emperors who used the name. Any slave freed from that family could call himself Julius. He sighed. I told you it was a long story. I'm young, remember? Clea said pointedly. I have time. Julius took her hand, an odd gesture that had nothing romantic about it and everything to do with the fact that they were like teammates now. They had killed Lamia and gargoyles and naiads together. He led her out of the city, to the tree where she spent so many of her teen years being all angsty. He didn't trip over the tree root this time. They made themselves comfortable, and he told her a story. I was born Julia Drusilla in the year 39, he began. You were born a girl, Clea interrupted. Whatever she had expected, it was not that. No, I was a boy, but my father desperately wanted a girl. He was still in mourning for his favourite sister, and he had made her a goddess. In his head, this daughter was to be her replacement, her namesake. He could not comprehend that I was a boy. It's funny, really, every other emperor obsessed about their sons and male heirs. Mine saw no need for that, as he planned to live forever. Your father was Caligula, said Clea, who had guessed that much, but wanted to be certain. Julius gave her a wary look. Indeed. You probably want me to defend him, to say he was nothing like the monster that appears in the history books, and that much at least is true. He was a very different monster to the one that history recalls. Was he Manticore too? Part Lamia, part werewolf, part sociopath? Yes. More Lamia than anything, but that was Livia's fault. I'm getting ahead of myself. My mother was worried for me that if Caligula realized I was a boy, I might be in danger. She bought a baby girl from a slave, I suppose, and swapped us over. I was safe in the Temple of Vestals when 2 years later there was a palace uprising against my father. He was killed, and my mother, and the false Julia baby. Uncle Claudius was made emperor instead, and he named his daughters Claudia, not Julia. I was the last of my kind. It's quite a common name these days, Clea commented. Julius seemed impatient with her. It means nothing in the mouths of anyone else. To my family, it was of great significance to be a Julia. Just as it meant something to have Lamia blood or werewolf or dragon. I still had two living aunts who visited me in my childhood sometimes, who trained me to use my powers. Julia Lavilla made the list for me of the creatures we had to defeat to free our family of the curse. Julia Agrippina taught me my weapons, took me travelling around the world. After they were gone, I fought the creatures alone. Clea felt a sharp twist in her stomach when he said the word alone. It was only a slight hesitation, but he held himself so rigidly, as if admitting the word meant something might destroy his whole illusion. He continued. Nero, my cousin, was the last Julian emperor. He died when I was 29. It was some years before I realized I had stopped aging. It was as if the only member of the family who had survived, I now held all their burdens. It took decades before I realized what my task in life was. My aunt's list, the creatures that had to be destroyed. But you don't know for sure, Clea said softly, that it's what you have to do. That you can rest when the list is complete. His eyes were burning now with a fierce, angry light. Oh, yes, I know. She wanted to comfort him, to reach out and touch him, to be something, anything that he needed. But she had nothing to offer, nothing he would take anyway. They sat together until morning, She dozed once, leaning against his shoulder in the tree, and when she blinked awake, she was alone. She did not see him again for 5 years, and when she did, he was too busy stabbing harpies to stop and chat. Thanks for listening. You can find me on Twitter and Tumblr at Sheep Might Fly and at TansyRR, on Facebook as TansyRR Books, and at patreon.com/musketeerspace. See you next week for part 4 of The Patrician.